Welcome to the KGP Sixteen Horizon podcast. My name is Kay, a story writer, film researcher, and avid horror aficionado. On alternate Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock London time, I will be rigorously focusing on every aspect of cinematic horror with interviews, analysis, and short stories. Join me in untying the soul's strings of darkness, exploring the human mind's abyss and their filmic psychological projections. I did like Ma and Get Out. The one I didn't like was Antebellum. Personally, I found it utterly pretentious. The characters were not relatable and the story was way far-fetched, if not insulting. Same applies for Shadow in the Cloud. I personally believe that the industry, on certain occasions, portrays women to be something that ultimately damages their image. Respectively, a similar example would be Arnold Schwarzenegger, who lifts a whole tree and walks around with it like he's carrying his laundry in Commando. My question is, where is the cinematic political correctness heading? How beneficial is it for the cinema, but also for the actresses portrayed?
It's a really interesting one to discuss. I mean, hopefully for the actors and actresses themselves, that will start to see kind of the gender pay gap, or you can look at the ethnicity pay gap as well, that maybe that will start to shrink. Maybe there'll be more discussion there, that they'll get more access to roles. Again, it comes back to that demand of, if the people want it, if the audience want it, then it will happen. But the audience have got to get that through to the institutions, like those that are in the position of power, to be able to represent them. It's difficult, though, in terms of where is it heading, because it is a slow process. We've seen kind of from the 1970s to today how women arguably are probably still maybe stereotypically in majority of horror films seen as the weaker one. It is changing. It is starting to make that movement away from that. And we, as an audience, are okay with that change. We quite like that women are becoming stronger, that women are kind of insulting back, they're attacking, they're, you know, stabbing them back, that they are kind of getting that position of power back. And we're okay with that as an audience. But I don't know if the audience is there yet for other kind of marginalized groups. Like, for instance, maybe what if we talk about transgender? I don't think probably society is there yet, especially when you see some of the trolling online and on Twitter. And also kind of removing the heteronormative narrative as well. What if we looked at homosexuality in horror films? Would that maybe be a thing that we see in the future? Maybe we might see some strong black characters in the future in horror films. Maybe that will be the way it goes. And although there is an improvement in kind of Black Lives Matters that we saw in 2020 and the BAME community are having more voice and more say, there's still probably, I don't know, maybe there's still kind of a guilt that resides within people that maybe makes it for an uncomfortable viewing when they are kind of challenging, like say in those films where they are trying to challenge the racial division, because it's guilt that we all feel. There's some sociologists that argue all of us are racist to kind of some extent, to some degree. And maybe that depends on kind of the power imbalances and the privileges that we've had. And there's a book that I read like a few years back that I recommend to students, is Why I'm Not Talking to White People About Race Anymore. And it's a really good book to kind of, you know, although you need the people in power, which arguably usually are the, you know, the white dominant people that are in power, to start those conversations, to give a voice to those who can't have a voice. It's still an issue where you think, I kind of relate a lot of this back to education, where I've seen kind of that changes in education. We've got women in secondary schools. We've got more females becoming head teachers. Still a long way to go on that one, but more females becoming head teachers. But then the minority ethnic groups are still not as diversely represented in schools as they should be. And that's partly because of the curriculum in the school, maybe the media, maybe the films, maybe the horror films, maybe the social media. There's so many different avenues to kind of look to blame, I suppose, in those senses. But that's where it's probably likely to go if they can make it marketable, if they can make it sellable, and if the audience wants it. So, for instance, trying to sell women becoming powerful, women overturning their, you know, horrible men that were dominating them, that's a sellable market. You could get mugs and T-shirts that say that, like, let it go and stuff like that from Frozen. You get kind of those, it's a sellable market because the numbers are there. You've got kind of 50% of the audience already there. But we need that to become the norm as well for those other marginalised groups. So people from the LGBTQ plus community and those from the BAME community as well need to be represented. But it needs to not be the whole focus of the film, that representation as well. It's a really difficult one to portray. That it's whoever is the best actor or actress at the time in that horror film is representing them, regardless of kind of their, I suppose, background descriptive characteristics, rather than the whole kind of character be written solely just talking about their community group that they belong to, because that's when people will arguably turn off. It's not what the audience will want to see in that sense. It's difficult. I think with time, as generations change and learn and develop, and as people kind of talk about it more, it will definitely improve. We always talk in school about the woke generation, that one of maybe the benefits of the pandemic has been people are starting to become aware and people are talking about it more. Like, people talk about mental health more, and George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter, and people are talking about class more and the free school meals and Marcus Rashford, and, you know, that discourse is happening. So if that keeps going down that way, then we should start to see more diversity in the horror industry.
Times change, and against all odds, it seems that people change as well. And among other things, cinema also changes and evolves. It had stagnated for far too long because we have had to. Even though "may you live in interesting times" is a tricky expression, I don't think anyone would prefer uninteresting.
Absolutely. It gives us hope for the future, which obviously, you know, is even, you know, horror films, they play an important role in society. It's a very popular genre. So they kind of do hold that position of responsibility as well. That if they're particularly aiming at a younger male market, they do need to have... I know a lot of people will be against the idea of, you know, what is a film's responsibility, but they do have that arguably responsibility to show diversity and to educate people.
Barbara Crampton, Angela Bassett, Sigourney Weaver, Mary Shelley, Jamie Lee Curtis, Halle Berry, Barbara Steele, Lupita Nyong'o, and many more have offered so much to the genre. Would you say that their contribution has had a positive impact on feminism, the way we perceive it nowadays? If yes, can it be perceived as contradictory, the fact that these women empowered the female presence in cinema with roles that were, or still are, stereotypical, even degrading to women?
It's definitely that combination, like say that contradiction. I think there have been huge positive impacts. So for me, one of them is kind of like, where else but in horror are you going to see a woman have the chance to stab a guy? You know, it's good. I don't know if that's the right, I'm not promoting that at all. But I think it's really important that kind of, I think this is one of the benefits of the horror film industry, is they do give permission to women that you won't see in other roles, in other films, where the woman's role is to just be that sex object or is to just be that mother. You give women these opportunities to face death and tackle it first on. Also, we have strong females on screen as well. We talked about Sigourney Weaver earlier as well, and Jamie Lee Curtis as well. who have that strength. They are inspiring. People look to them, and, you know, at that time especially, they would have been influential. I know one of my best friends, she absolutely loves Jamie Lee Curtis. That's her, like, role model in life. So it's definitely had a positive impact. And I've mentioned, for me, kind of Gothica and Halle Berry, she definitely probably inspired me to go into mental health, to go into psychology, to try and understand that world more. Even, you know, in the kind of way the film is portrayed, it still will always have that impact. And if anything, it creates this discussion, the discussion we're having today, the discussion that other people will have, kind of without having these films, those conversations wouldn't happen. Kind of like with video games, they had to go through that. All different parts of industry have had to have that moment where they say, is it okay that we have a female lead? I'm thinking kind of Lara Croft as a video game that had to kind of have that moment where, okay, we're going to have a female character as the lead. Is this okay? And she's going to be strong. That's going against kind of the traditional norms that we have associated with femininity. Having said that, though, like with Lara Croft, like with the horror films, they still portray women in a very sexualized, stereotypical way that benefits men. Obviously, Lara Croft, we need not say. I think that's self-explanatory. But in terms of in horror films as well, a lot of the women have this exaggerated slimness, like ridiculously thin. Kind of watching Martyrs as an example, like both of the girls are so slim in there before, obviously, all of the neglect and abuse happens. They originally are so slim, and there's still kind of a focus on the females in there, like the sister in the family when she's playing around with the brother, and you see her from behind multiple times. You always get kind of that bum shot scene first. So there's still not really a good representation of women, maybe even fat phobic, which obviously isn't going to help women in the long term, in terms of some women then go on to develop eating disorders and have mental health issues and things like this. And sociologist Carl Ferguson in 1983, which normally I would argue is too dated to use, but also arguably is still relevant, said that the women's role in the film industry is him, her home, and looking good. And then that's usually for him as well. That is those kind of three aspects, him, home, and looking good, that's important. So there's still kind of that stereotype that that is the female's role. She arguably also, as a female actress, will get paid less. So there's still that gender pay gap, and we kind of celebrate that and acknowledge that in November, when that tends to be the gender pay gap day, when it's a woman's earned the same amount of what a man would earn in a whole year by middle of November. And they're expected to still be weak, which isn't great. And when they do have characters that aren't weak, they tend to get really heavily criticised, that it's just not realistic. She wouldn't be able to have done that. So there's still kind of that biological predisposition that women are weak, as kind of in a lot of the storylines. They tend to be kind of cheap and sexy, is the way I would describe it. And we've talked about why that might be, so we can empathise with them. But that is her role. It is to be kind of degraded, to be stereotyped, and for the man to kind of, you know, want her and desire her. And maybe that's one of the negative aspects, although yes, it's positive. Yes, it's horror is definitely doing better than kind of rom-coms for women. There's still kind of an issue of, are they just a product of their time, or is this a longer systemic issue that women are still seen in this negative way? Again, it comes back to that question, is it the audience? Is it the audience who are to blame, that they won't buy into a film that shows women in these positive ways? Or is it the actual directors, the people in power, that are kind of promoting that as their idea? Especially when it comes to things like ageism that we see a lot in the horror films, where it's always, always, always a very young girl. We've talked about from a virginal point of view, but it's always a really young female. Where are all the old females at? Are they not paid actresses, or do they get taken off the screen because they're not attractive enough anymore? It gets really frustrating that they're not out there. And, you know, if I was an older female, I'd be getting pretty annoyed that I wasn't represented, that I'm not to be looked at anymore. And that a lot of mothers say that as well, that they feel that they're no longer sexually attractive, that people stop looking at them once they're a mum, that they no longer have a place in society. So it's a contradictory message. It's definitely positive in comparison to other genres. At least it's giving women those opportunities, but there are still a lot of negative impacts that are kind of continuing that myth around femininity that arguably we should be challenging in kind of 2021.
Martyrs is undoubtedly one of the most difficult horrors to watch. It is not the most torturous or bloody, yet it is one of the most cruel films made to date. And before I move on, especially for this one, I must say that if anyone wants to watch it, skip this part as there are spoilers ahead. So go ahead and watch it and then come back to it if you want to. So Martyrs is the epitome of human suffering, and the people who suffer are women. But behind everything, there are women involved. My question to you is, why only women have to suffer this martyrdom?
I don't know why. No, I do know why, but again, I think it is probably, when you take the actual word martyrs, take it right back to its older sense, and spoiled at the end of our kind of, they give you that definition of martyrs. It would have been used in the suffragette movement. They were the martyrs of their time period, where they had to go on their hunger strikes to get noticed. They had to chuck themselves under a horse during Grand National Day to get noticed. They had to kind of have those sacrifices. Maybe for the things we've talked about potentially already, that for it to be a woman going through those experiences, we're more likely to empathise with her than we would if it was a man. But that's easier to kind of believe. Maybe it's a symbol, maybe it's a symbolic gesture of the sacrifices that women have had to go through, that their life is tougher, it is harder, and that's why we see the women getting abused and just horrific. There is obviously in the actual film, there's a religious point of view in the film, so maybe that does stem from women have always been seen as the problem in religion. So if there weren't the women kind of ruining things, as the Christians would say, it would have probably have all been okay and would have all been living in the Garden of Eden if it wasn't for Eve. So perhaps for those reasons. But yeah, it's a difficult one to watch. It's a definitely frustrating, painful, at times annoying, horrific, gruesome, all of those feelings where you just want something else to happen, just anything to kind of shift it up. And yeah, when you have the moment when you find out that actually there's a woman behind it all, I was like, what? As if that would never happen. Obviously, again, maybe it's because we so rarely would ever show women to kind of, in usual society, not in horror films so much, in horror films they do like to show it, but to show the women as the monsters in society, that they're behind it all. And maybe that was the only way to make it okay as a film, was to have a woman play that role, perhaps as the mademoiselle of, you know, then it was acceptable. But what a gruesome film.
She's an upper class woman, though.
Yeah, true. And so even more power, more prestige, and obviously her followers as well, to kind of support her in that process.
What did you think of the ending? What do you think the message was?
I don't know. I was trying to work it out because obviously they get to the point, because they had like the moment where they pause before, they show you the definition and they go back to her again afterwards. And you're looking at her and they're looking into her eyes and they can see kind of maybe this transcendence or whatever it is they're looking for. But you look at her, maybe it was to kind of go to the extreme end of nudity, as in, you know, we're so used, maybe it was a positive message, a feminist message of, we're so used to seeing a woman naked and how sexualized that object is, where when you see her flayed and all of her skin taken off, you see her in her kind of biological animalistic form. Maybe it's the most extreme example of abjection, that grotesque, gruesome weirdness of seeing kind of what it is. We do have a fascination with that. We do like, you know, finding out more. That's why people watch those sorts of programs on TV, and they do have a fascination with that. They find that appealing. So perhaps that was maybe a positive message about feminism flaying her as a form of abuse. I don't know. It's a difficult one to interpret.
It's interesting you perceived it that way. I got exactly the opposite vibe. These people, quote-unquote, were struggling for decades or more to discover if there is an afterlife, what happens in it, and Anna's message was nothing. There isn't any. A message that she only passed on to the old woman, the cult's leader. Learning that, the old woman realized that all these people they have tortured was for nothing. Therefore, the message, and consequently, the film, is nothing but nihilistic.
Absolutely, it leaves you with no hope whatsoever. It literally destroys it. Definitely when, because that's the frustrating bit, you're like, oh, she's going to give the message, and maybe that's going to be something we can take something from or glean something from, and you then don't get to hear it as the audience. But for her to kill herself, I like to think maybe she did have a moment of realizing there's no point, there's no greater meaning behind it all, and maybe then she had a moment of guilt and thought, let's end it all for all of the abuse that I've caused unnecessarily. But it makes the film even more frustrating that you don't, and let's just point out the women's death scenes. It's another one for the woman death toll in it. That's another woman who kills herself, and that was one of the things I noticed in Martyrs. Kind of the male death scenes are really quick. They tend to be like the dad and the brother. They get shot pretty instantly. But the brother's face takes maybe a second longer for him to sit down first. Other than that, they get shot really quickly. Whereas for the women, bar Madame Roselle, obviously at the end, she shoots herself. But the women, they go through that long, arduous, abusive process to then eventually die. And I did find it interesting, kind of the ghoul that's haunting the first girl so much. Really kind of it did link back to kind of PTSD. Maybe it was symbolic of the girl that she left behind that she felt the guilt for. Or part of me thought maybe it's symbolic of kind of that person within you that's always kind of harming you, and because ultimately I suppose it's a form of self-harm that she was doing to herself, that it's you are your worst critic, although it was symbolic of the other girl. But I don't know, I just find it really interesting that the women go through such a, I mean, I was contemplating for a while to try and make sense of it, but I was thinking it is interesting that the women go through this long, drawn out, horrific process of slowly dying, whereas men are, they're quite fortunate in that sense that they don't get subjected to so much abuse and torture.
I couldn't stop thinking to myself, why didn't she just leave 5 minutes earlier? I mean, 5 minutes earlier. None of this would have happened. Of course, if she had, we wouldn't have had the film, which I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, to be honest.
I'm always like that in a lot of horror films. I'm always arguing the character going, no, you just won't do that. You just go and get help. You go make a call. You would never go and face it by yourself. I think I'm quite a scaredy cat in those senses. I would never go and explore, like, oh yeah, I'll just go have a look down these stairs, see what's cracking off down here. No, get out, run away. But that's what makes horror films so great, because they absorb you, you become part of it, and you're really rooting for that character. So yeah, I suppose in that one it wouldn't have been the film. Who would have thought it was going to go that way as well? Like, I didn't think it was going to go to her just being completely flayed and all of her skin being removed. I didn't see that one coming.
It was twist after twist after twist. To say that in the end I was enraged would be an understatement. I felt in the end that this is the loss of hope. I don't know why. There were so many thoughts going through my head at the time. It felt like this is the reason why people have invented anti-heroes like the Punisher. Because, think about it, what kind of punishment do these people deserve? How can one say, let's bring them to justice? Justice is a human concept, and these people, again, quote-unquote, are not humans. I could never think that people like them could be potentially humans like you and I are. But then you go back and think about the crimes against humanity in the name of religion, ideology, or science, and you think to yourself, oh, okay, that's an extremely well-made, thought-provoking film. How about actual human beings that have actually committed these atrocities? They were humans, and they lived to tell the tale. Suddenly, the gender issues seem unimportant, and one can only wonder, have we run out of problems nowadays and we argue about these topics? Ultimately, to cut a long story short, I came to my senses and thought to myself, let us all be well and keep constructively arguing. Excuse me, Verbosity, really, sorry about that. I still can't put my thoughts together properly when it comes to that film.
You definitely don't want to be going to sleep afterwards. You want a bit of time out to contemplate.
I need to change the subject. It's just too much. And I know that in a few years I'll watch it again. Go figure. In other news, though, what is it that you love and respectively hate in a female-led horror film?
Oh, well, this is where I got my high horse. As a feminist. No, the films, obviously, I love horror films. I love, I expect there to be kind of those stereotypes. And part of it, when I was at university, we would kind of watch horror films together and it would be in jest sometimes. And we were kind of almost, I know they're meant to be intentionally horrible, but there was that kind of bond that we'd have as friends where we would talk about how ridiculous the female characters were. So it did kind of give us those kind of characters in a sense. But yeah, arguably they did still annoy me. So when a female lead, she has kind of no say in anything. She has no power, no agency, no control, no choice, no free will. And I think that's because I'm very kind of free will psychologist. I'm very kind of independent feminist. I get frustrated when I see women just kind of going along with the story that their part in that film doesn't ever direct where the storyline goes, that they are just being subjected to, along with obviously being objected as well, that they are just part and parcel and things happen to them and they just go along with the monotony of the story. I much prefer when women actually get involved, like in 10 Cloverfield Lane. I don't know if you've seen it, but where the woman's like trying to actively get out, she's trying to escape. She's thinking outside the box. She's making an escape suit of how she'll survive outside. You know, she's trying her best to get out there and she's leading what's happening. It's not just that she's waiting for things to happen to her. And that's always frustrated me. It's one of the things that's frustrated me throughout my childhood, throughout my travels sometimes as well. It comes up when women are just there to be kind of responded to, like we don't really give women their chance to have their voice, and that women just get spoken to and then they have to be submissive and then respond afterwards. And this was studied in, it's a psychology study, but I also use it in sociology. It's a little bit of a tangent because they're looking at TV adverts, which obviously has nothing to do with horror films. But this was looking at TV adverts in kind of the late 80s, early 90s. And the thing that distresses me about it is their adverts that children, me included, growing up in kind of late 80s, early 90s, grew up watching on Nickelodeon, that was part of my norms. And then those adverts are obviously targeted to children, and then that becomes part of what you think is acceptable and what is normal, and just how your gender is defined from the minute you're born. So what happened in the study, they basically did a big content analysis of all the adverts that were out there in autumn time for a number of years throughout 80s and 90s in the lead up to the Christmas campaign when people are buying toys for the kids. And they found that quite often in male adverts, so where the target is a man, it's a boy's toy, it will always be like really strong masculine verbs. You're going to dominate, you're going to rule the world, you're going to do... Watch some videos on YouTube, it's brilliant, like Tonka toys and stuff like this. You're going to rule the seas and all these powerful verbs. But when it was a female toy, the verbs were all to do with being sedentary, so basically just sitting down. So it was kind of, I'm not even going to be able to mimic it, but it was like high-pitched singing. And it was always like, everything's okay with the world. We sit down, we play with our friends, we just have a talk and we chat. And it's again just expressing these norms about kind of boys are there to be instrumental. They are drivers. they get things done, they change things physically for people, whereas a woman's role is to be expressive. Her job is to be nurturing and caring. And that, this is what scares me. It's probably, you know, why we don't have children. It scares me how you go into a toy shop or you see it online, and this is the message that children get from being born. The minute we find out if they are male or female, and the minute we make that distinction, then everything is targeted to them differently. And even in the works, there used to be this colouring book that was identical on the inside, but the front cover said for brave boys, and then for girls, it was for beautiful girls. And I was like, oh, boys get to be brave, but girls don't. So if that's happening kind of in TV adverts, TV toys, things that are aimed at children, then when we're dealing with adults, obviously there's less censorship rules with adults, which is even more alarming. So that's why I get frustrated in horror films when the female is defined by her gender, that she is just seen as, you are a woman, therefore in this film, you are going to have these things happen to you, and you're just going to go along with that. And you're only going to get employed in this film if you are attractive. If you aren't super skinny, super young, super perfect in that kind of Hollywood sense, then you're not going to make it into the film. And that frustrates me, because then people don't feel that they're represented, and then they go on to develop mental health issues or feel that they're not good enough. And females generally, and this is a sweeping statement, but there is research that supports it, that females tend to lack confidence, whereas men tend to be overconfident. And part of me does think that the media, the films, have a role to play in boosting females' confidence, that how could they feel confident when they're making these unhealthy comparisons to unrealistic images in the media, and then arguably the new media with social media as well. Well, let's go positive. I've done my rant. Let's go positive. Obviously, Gothica's in there. That film's always in the mix. I like strong, independent women, women that are believable, women that you can get behind. Like when I was growing up as a teenager, obviously Gothica was around then as well. But it's probably not the best horror film to discuss, because it's probably more of a coming of age film. But Craft, I don't know if you know The Craft, and about four females, and they, one of them was a witch, and they would work together to kind of develop their witchiness. I don't know. But I really like that, because these were women of different shapes, different sizes. They weren't all conventionally attractive. One was quite emo looking. It made it more, I don't know, it is probably aimed at teenagers for that reason, it is more coming of age, but it just made it more realistic, where it's not just kind of that Barbie doll image in a horror film that we're so used to, like in Scream and things like that.
You know what? I did watch The Craft in VHS. You can accuse me all you want, but four attractive females in a horror, I was bound to watch it. Not my cup of tea, but enjoyable nonetheless. As for 10 Cloverfield Lane, I loved it. Mary Elizabeth Winstead and John Goodman had amazing chemistry between them, and even though the ending was head-scratching, let's leave it at that, it was very claustrophobic, and that's one of my favorite kinds of horror. Anyway, I have one last fun question for you. Is there a female role in a horrific scenario that we have yet to encounter in cinemas or on TV, and that you would find innovative?
Oof, I don't know if, like, in terms of horrific scenario, I think Martyrs win on that one. I can't think of anything more horrific. My first kind of go-to when I think of most horrific scene, I would think something that does go against the gender norms. So anything where a woman is kind of not showing that expressive role, where a woman is not being caring and she's doing anything to kind of harm her children. But then we do already have that in horror films like The Others. It already exists, you know, the mother's trying to kill her own children. There's already that abuse there. And we see abuse is quite common in films as well. Like I mentioned before, but we need to talk about Kevin in a previous podcast, you know, where the mum is quite abusive to the child. And that's kind of that long withstanding neglect that he suffers. So I think there's already been ones that are really horrific. And sometimes they try to portray the mother as kind of this monster, but yet she's also a hero. I can't think of anything that could be more horrific than Martyrs. But in terms of something that would be innovative, maybe if we could see females kind of maybe accurately portraying the problems that they face in real life, which probably would maybe be too mundane, maybe too boring for a horror film. But I think what females, and I am more a liberal feminist, but I'm going to go with a radical feminist point of view for a moment. If females, the way that they're brought up, some would argue that that is already something to be really afraid of, that they're brought up being told that you are always in danger. Every time you go out in the street, you could get attacked if you look too sexually overt, and that's kind of your fault if that happens. And they have those messages from parents, from their friends, and that is a really scary thing to be brought up with, and being told that you can't go into certain careers because that's a male-dominated career and you won't succeed and you're never going to get paid as much as a man and you're never going to do as well as a man. And that if you try and push those boundaries, you'll be judged and you'll be kind of negatively abused for that. And they'll use kind of phrases against women when they're not behaving in a feminine way. I think that reality is probably more scary because that's more realistic than anything we see arguably in a lot of the horror films, that women will never truly be able to be recognised in the same way as in men are recognised. That's very much a radical point of view and don't necessarily believe it. I do think things have improved. But in studies like there's a study we look at in sociology by McRobbie and Garber, who were female sociologists. And most of what we have kind of this male stream in sociology. So a lot of the sociologists are male and they look at things that affect men, like criminality. And then women just get ignored. And they looked at the idea of that there's a bedroom culture with females, that you don't see females out on the streets. You don't see them go on to develop like gangs like you would do in The Wire and programs like that. Like that doesn't happen because females are policed from such an early age. And that policing is what's scary for females, that they have to be self-controlled. Originally, they have to get controlled by other people. So usually the parents, usually older siblings, usually their friends, that they have to kind of form their identity in their bedroom. And their friends come over to their bedroom and that's where they hang out. Who knows what happens during the pandemic? But that's kind of how they are to be, that their existence has to be hidden and away from view, because it's just too sexually alluring. It's just too sexually desiring for men. So they kind of have to hide away. And I think that, similar to what I was saying before, is really scary that they have to kind of shield themselves because they can't go out there and be who they want to be. Whereas boys, arguably, when they're growing up, can. They can just go out there, play on the streets. It's not something that they need to worry about. And even kind of being policed. One of the things I always remember is like you get policed on how to sit, how to be ladylike, how to make sure your legs are crossed so somebody isn't looking up your skirt. And those things you pass on to the next generation. It's what we do in those conversations. I think that is far scarier, the controls that are in place to regiment female behaviour, whereas males don't have that. And maybe that also contributes to females feeling less confident than men overall. I think as well, innovative, it would be good to see kind of more transgressive female roles. So ones that aren't just about their gendered expectations. As I was saying before, ones that would just, they happen to be female, that isn't part of the plot, that they are female, so therefore these things are going to happen to them. That whoever the actor or actress that got assigned that role, it is regardless of their gender, if we could kind of go beyond the expectations. And Westwood is a sociologist. He compared this to programs like X-Files, where you have Gillian Anderson as Scully. And another one growing up with, they've been very informative as I was growing up. And it didn't matter that she was female. That didn't pull into her storyline. That didn't make her a better or worse alien detective. It wasn't the narrative. And that's what it'd be nice to see, rather than people getting held back a lot. And then maybe some horror stories that challenge conventional masculinity, that try to kind of take away the idea that the man is strong, that the man is the saviour, that the man, maybe these already exist, I don't know, but maybe where women could be more assertive in leading, maybe women could talk first and then the man responds, rather than it usually always being the other way around, that the man talks and the woman responds. it'd be nice to see that dynamic be twisted on its head, and not for it to be a big part of it, a big deal of it, just for it to be in there, just for it to be shown, to be seen. And arguably, we've talked a lot about that better representation. So from those marginalised groups like the LGBTQ plus groups, which February is the History Month for LGBTQ plus, to see more ethnic diversity as well, to see a better representation of different types of females, rather than categorising this is the mother female, this is the sexual objectified female, this is this version of a female. Let's have no kind of categorisation of females. Let's get that better representation, because I think everyone would agree it's got better and we've turned a corner and we're no longer kind of stuck in the 1970s. But I think a lot of people would say that it hasn't maybe changed as fast as we probably thought it would, and that maybe is kind of plateauing in the last decade. And it'd be nice to see kind of a different variety on the silver screen and in horror films particularly. But I will say it's definitely really, really interesting. For a sociologist, it's really fun. It's really like going to something like horror films and just going through the back catalogue, you know, some of those greats like Halloween, who kind of arguably probably started that final girl trope, and kind of seeing how far we've come and understanding kind of what happened in the 70s, what's happening today, and seeing that progression is really impressive. Can we see it yet cross-culturally? I think to some extent, do all cultures, and this is something I've been asking my year 13s last week, so I might ask you, see what you think, but do all cross-cultures want the role of females to change in horror films? Because obviously we've got kind of a quite liberal Western individualist viewpoint, this ideology, and Hollywood is part of that. That is then starting to take over the other countries, and they want to kind of defend their own viewpoint, their own norms, and maybe the East or other countries might not be ready for such a liberal female character when you think how different other cultures view femininity and the different rights that women have in different cultures. And do we owe it to those cultures to respect their rights? How far do we want to push those boundaries? I think that's kind of the big question. If we call it cultural homogenization. So the idea that we're becoming one culture because we're so globalized, we're so interconnected. We've obviously got internet, we've got films, we've got horror films, we've got Hollywood kind of taking over the world and kind of creating that one message for all. We have to be mindful that where we are in the West might not be where all cultures are at this point. And are we ready to see that diversity, and how are we gonna make that work for everyone?
Thank you very much for your time. It will take some time to process what you've mentioned here tonight, but I will use that information as a foundation for further interviews. As you were talking, I couldn't help but think of Carrie, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and the Alien Quadrilogy, where women dictate how the narrative will unfold.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see. That's the more progressive route into showing females in horror films.
Thank you once again. Your time here means the world to me.
Thank you as well.
Have a nice evening.
I will, you too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
As we are nearing the end, please give me a review and don't forget to share and subscribe. You can find all of my podcasts, film reviews and analysis on my website kgpfilmreviews.com. If you also feel like supporting my effort to explore the genre, please feel free to support me on patreon.com/kgpfilmreviews. Any support is much appreciated and valued. No matter how we look at it, it seems that the horror genre is a reflection of our society. Looking back at the 70s, 80s and 90s horror films, we can't help but compare what scared people back then, if those films would stand a chance today, if they would make us tick, or if they would be allowed to be released to begin with. Michelle's observation was spot on. This can be an experiment, and cinema can be a useful tool to examine people's perception of the world they live in. I remember an old professor of mine who once said to me that from art you can learn a lot more about people, because history will tell you what you want to remember from them, but their art cannot lie. women's role keeps evolving and ethnic minorities and non-binary people seem to gradually earn the respect they deserve. Some of us might not be around to see the full extent of this evolution, but knowing that the cogs are in motion is an achievement in its own respect. Change takes eons, and we don't have that much time on this earth. Let's make the most of it. So thank you for staying with me all the way. These podcasts are for horror fans who have the passion to delve into the horror genre to its core. Feel free to make requests, suggestions, or ask about anything you would be interested in discovering about the genre and its echoing aftershock to the world we live in. Horror elicits fear through fiction and terror through facts. It is gory and it is psychological. It is caused by supernatural entities as much as it is caused by our deranged next-door neighbor. Horror can haunt our nightmares no less than it can haunt our questionable reality. So remember, the son of Erebus and Nyx always awaits to cross the rivers Styx and Acheron.